Lily Waters is on the line. Good afternoon, Lily.
G'day, Mick. How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Really good, thanks, and thanks for joining us on 2SER. This work is really striking, and it focuses on the power of the natural world. And your new exhibition is called Anthropocene, which is a period in which mankind became the dominating influence on the environment. Can you tell us what it was that made you want to represent the Australian landscape through this sort of lens?
Well, at the time, the bushfires were, you know, raging across the country, and it was all pretty terrifying. And I sort of had this pressing feeling like I should go out and make some work out there. I mean, I've been working in Australian landscapes for about 8 years now with my photography. Mm-hmm. I thought I had this sort of overarching feeling of, you know, the anxiety around what was happening, and there were lots of areas that were on fire, so we couldn't go sort of to a lot of places that I'd wanted to. So I sort of picked a spot on the map where there weren't, you know, there wasn't a lot of forest. It was towards Murray Sunset National Park, which is about 7 hours from Melbourne. There's a lot of salt lakes out there, not a lot of dense bushlands. It's mostly farmland out there, so which is not really where I would usually go to make work. Sure. We headed out to Sea Lake and then the Grampians, which was a really lovely, refreshing place to go, actually, after being out in the salt lakes. Lots of greenery. It was nice to be in the forest around trees that, you know, were still there. Yeah. It's sort of Australian wilderness and nature is sort of my creative playground. It's where I feel, you know, I like to create images.
Yeah, there is a stark contrast in this exhibition between the greenery of the Grampians and then the burnt out sort of darker images as well. I think it's really a perfect illustration of Australia and the landscape and how diverse it can be around the country. It really makes a good backdrop, I guess.
It does, yes. It's beautiful.
With the bushfires, we as a country confronted the anthropological impact of climate change on our environment, and your work really has that post-apocalyptic sense, I guess, in witnessing the force of destruction linked in with the actions on our planet. Would you say that your photos were looking at how our human footprint has altered the natural world?
Definitely. I always sort of try to bring that element into my work, you know, whether it's subtle or, I mean, people interpret it the way they want, but I guess this series specifically refers to, you know, the Age of Humans. It's a pretty dark series. And I guess, you know, if I sort of think about it, it's sort of reflecting my state of mind, you know, at times about the world and humanity. A lot of things are quite troubling and, you know, disturbing at the moment around so many issues. It is an expression of sort of how I'm feeling, and it's hard to sort of think about it that way at the time, but on reflection, certainly, definitely coming back to those themes for sure.
I mean, while it is a really beautiful exhibition, there are some sort of unsettling vulnerability because you use the human body as a lot in your photos. What sort of influence have you had on using that sort of imagery? Is that something that you saw someone else do and you liked, or is it really just sparked in your head completely original, or did you sort of base it on someone else?
That's a good question. Look, I studied photography like a long, long time ago where, you know, we were still using film cameras. No one I know had a digital camera, so all darkroom black and white images. Yeah. The teachers would show us black and white photos, you know, all the black and white photography books from way long ago. There was nothing really new in the libraries that we're looking at. But I was looking at, I was really kind of heavily inspired by, you know, women photographers like Julia Margaret Cameron, Francesca Woodman, who did self-portraits. There were also a lot of painters that I probably started to be inspired by back then.
Well, that's it. There's a real pre-Raphaelite look and almost looks like a painting, your images.
So John William Waterhouse, it was a huge inspiration for me. This sort of love of these images or these paintings from another time, you know, it was pre-Raphaelite era became a quite a profound sort of driver behind all of my work in subtle ways, and then sort of, I guess, yeah, much stronger in this series. There's sort of a rare beauty mixed with torment and melancholy in these paintings that have sort of always deeply resonated with me. And we talk about vulnerability, but also a strength in the women as well. So, you know, I want to represent these female figures as yes, vulnerable to the landscape, but also connected with the landscape and strengthened by it. So trying to depict her as belonging to nature in a way to sort of feel, you know, we're so disconnected from nature, and so that's where I'm sort of heading.
Sure.
In that direction. Yeah.
And the way you've done the images of the woman in the photos, the face is often obscured, either with a veil or facing away, which is quite, you know, a different, not quite your traditional aspect of portraiture. What was the meaning behind that, to sort of cover the face and not have to show the eyes or the facial features?
Yeah, that's a good question. I sort of became a natural sort of part of my practice years ago. And I sort of, it's hard to answer why. I mean, I'm using, I like to play around with, I mean, like you said, it's not like portraiture of a specific woman. I think in obscuring the face, by hiding her identity, you know, I use different things. Like, I love fabrics. I'm always in op shops looking for interesting things that might make a picture more interesting. I use hair and I use wigs. And in this series, I've used lace for the first time. So the lace sort of represents romanticism, feminine in many ways. It sort of symbolizes all these things, sort of symbolize in a way in which to represent the female figure. So, I guess it's sort of like a veil in a way, like a magical protective layer. And also, I think when we cannot see the subject's face, I have this feeling that we can connect with the subject more, because it acts more like it's sort of like a self-reflection in a way, or like a sort of like a mirror. Rather than looking at a picture and seeing someone's identity, we can notice other things about her and perhaps see a little bit of ourselves in this female figure.
Yeah, interesting. Really, really nice explanation. Now, the galleries, of course, aren't quite open yet. Very limited space at the moment. People can't sort of go and linger and look at these things in person. But there's this amazing virtual gallery that you've devised, or that you've put your photos up on. It's basically like, if anyone's used like a computer game where you move around with the arrows, you can zoom in and out, you can walk around a little exhibition, and you can focus on the photos that you want to see, or you can look at them in sort of a wider wider lens. It's really quite nicely done. What are your thoughts of it as an artist, having your photos put up in this sort of way?
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey. This was supposed to be a physical exhibition, for the moment, I'm actually I feel really lucky to be able to still have this exhibition, and she'll be able to show my work. I don't like to hang on for work too long, so you know, the thought of exhibiting this in a year's time, you know, and everything's been up in the air, and we haven't known exactly what's going to happen when things are open. But yeah, I feel really lucky because I know there are a lot of artists out there that are unable to do this sort of thing at the moment. You know, performance artists, a lot of my friends are musicians, and they've been really, you know, hit really hard. There's no gigs, venues closing down, people are putting things on hold. You know, it's really sad and, you know, worrying. So I feel really privileged that, you know, my gallery was able to offer me this sort of alternative.
Yeah.
And it is actually, it's sort of the beauty of these sort of virtual exhibitions that we're seeing at the moment is that they, you know, no, they're not in person, and there's something really beautiful about, you know, going into a gallery and seeing a print in a space. But these exhibitions are so accessible, you know, anyone who has the internet can see them. So, and people who, you know, don't live in the areas, people live in rural areas, or they live in a different city, or they live in a country, you know, they can't go. So yeah. I think this virtual space is a really wonderful way to for artists to share their work on a, you know, national, international platform. And I think hopefully in the future when things open up again, I think a really great way would to have, you know, both of them. So you have the physical exhibition and you have a virtual exhibition for people who can't attend, which is, I think it's really nice.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
We're chatting to Lily Waters, and if you want to check out the photos that Lily has taken for this exhibition, Anthropocene, the Age of Humans, the best way to go is to Lily's webpage, which is lilywaters.com, and you'll see the first photo up on that website is, and if you click on that link, you'll see a link to a virtual exhibition, and that's a good way to get in there, and like I say, you can move around the room and check out all the photos and how they're laid out, which I'm sure was a planned decision, just like you'd plan to lay them out in any exhibition. It's just a virtual one instead. Lily, thank you so much for joining us on 2SER. Good luck with everything, and look, we're looking forward to see them in person as well.
Thanks so much, mate. Thanks for having me.